Coming up on this episode of Disneyland Weekly, more construction started, Lunar New Year comes to California Adventure,
the Tahitian Terrace might return, and we continue our trip around the park. Disneyland Weekly starts now.
This is Disneyland Weekly.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Disneyland Weekly for the week of January 24th, 2018. I'm Teg Bushman.
And I'm Teresa Urban. Thank you for joining us this week. First off, we want to thank Miguel for becoming a patron at the cast member level today. Miguel will get access to our outtake episodes and the Slack chat that we use to get ready for the weekly show. Thanks again, Miguel. Now let's get to the news.
Howdy, folks. Please keep your hands, arms, and legs inside the train and remain seated at all times. Now then, hang on to them hats and glasses, because this here's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Just when we thought that there couldn't be any more construction around the resort, Disney has started on a construction project to reconfigure the area around It's a Small World. Changes include a reworked queue, much like the queue work being done on Dumbo, a change to the parade route, and related changes to the promenade area. With the addition of Fast Pass and the longer lines at this classic, this is a welcome change.
Yeah, I was surprised to see this actually come up, but they've already taken down the parade entrance gate. They say all this work should be done by April when Pixar Fest starts, because they're going to have the Pixar Play Parade.
Yeah, let's hope.
So I saw a mock-up on, I believe it was on MySage earlier today, where they kind of showed what they thought it was going to look like. Obviously, the queue reworking, they have no idea, but the parade route's just going to move south a little bit. Starting this Friday, you can celebrate the Lunar New Year over at Disney California Adventure. This year commemorates the Year of the Dog. You will find special food offerings, themed decorations, a mini parade with Mulan and Mushu, a special pre-show to World of Color, and more. I've never been to any of the Lunar New Year stuff.
It sounds really neat. Each time I read about it or whenever we talk about it, I really wish that I could be there.
Well, have you ever...
One of these years.
In the park, have you ever met Mulan or Mushu?
No, I've not seen them.
Yeah.
Walt Disney World, yes, but not Disneyland. Mouse Planet found building permits filed by Disneyland this week that point to the possible return to dining at what is now Aladdin's Oasis. People familiar with the history of this area will remember that the Tahitian Terrace was located in this space until 1993, when it was replaced with the current area that used to house an Aladdin show. It would be great to see something similar to the Tahitian Terrace return to Disneyland.
I agree. The original Tahitian Terrace include Polynesian dancers and fire twirlers. It's a show that I would be happy to pay to see again in Disneyland. Mouse Planet contacted Disneyland for comment, and they had nothing to share at this time. Sounds like something awesome is coming to the area, hopefully soon. What do you think, Teresa?
Well, we were just watching videos of the old show, and yeah, it looks really cool. And we were just also discussing that Walt Disney World has something similar, but it's a... Lilo and Stitch theme. I can't remember what it's called offhand, but anyways,
well, that's one of them.
Yeah, yep. It's some sort of Polynesian themed dining experience there, so I could very well see it coming here, and maybe they could have Lilo and Stitch be a part of this one too, because they really aren't present in the park.
Maybe.
I like, don't roll your eyes.
I like the authentic idea of it being in Adventureland and being authentic to Tahitian folks.
Well, at Walt Disney World, we didn't go there, but from what I could gather, because we looked at going in there, it is very authentic, and they're just there for character meet and greets. They're just kind of wandering around.
Like
they're a part of the show or anything.
But they're more
like
Hawaiian,
that.
Though, and this is Tahitian, so it's a little different.
Fine.
Because I was going to say the same thing with the show that they have at the Polynesian at Disney World is called the Spirit of Aloha show, and if you ride the main monorail loop, you'll always hear it, because they every time you go by the Polynesian, that's the spiel on the monorail, is to go check out the show. And I've heard mixed reviews of that show. The show itself is good. I've just heard mixed reviews of the food. People either like it or they don't like it. I mean, it's fairly expensive. If I remember right, it's like $60-something a person, 40 to 60, somewhere in there. And I don't know. I want to go to it.
Last week, the first Disneyland After Dark event took place at Disneyland, and the reviews have been good. Attendees received retro maps of the park and were treated to a lot of character interactions. There were also plenty of photo opportunities, including an old Skyway car. The event also included the only fireworks at Disneyland until April, performing Fantasy in the Sky.
Yeah, you know, I wrote in here that reviews have been good. All the people that I saw on like Twitter and stuff talking about it enjoyed it, and they thought it was good and worth it. The people over at MySage did not like it as much. They thought for the price, that just some extra photo opportunities and some more character people and like nothing particularly special wasn't really worth the price. They thought maybe dropping it to like below $50 would be better instead of the price that it was at. One thing I did see pictures of that My Stage had that I thought was really cool actually was, so Splash Mountain is down, and at the time that this era was supposed to take place, Critter Country didn't exist. So they had a sign outside of Critter Country saying, this land is coming soon or whatever. They had like the whole land closed off. So I thought that was really cool that like instead of just leaving like a whole area closed, that they tried to like theme it to the event. That so I thought neat. That was pretty cool. So over in Downtown Disney, Splitsville is finally opening on January 29th. Splitsville is obviously bowling, but is also known for its food, especially sushi. This makes me happy and excited as I love sushi. What about you, Teresa? I know you love sushi as much as I do. If sushi isn't your thing, they also offer burgers, pizza, and more.
That's an interesting combination. Sushi, burgers, pizza.
Their sushi is supposed to
cater to all of the...
Their sushi talent. Is supposed to be amazing.
Is it?
Which
I'll try it out.
I think it's weird. But yeah, I'll definitely try it.
One final note as we wrap up the news today. The Haunted Mansion has returned after the holiday overlay has been removed. Also, It's a Small World is now down for its holiday removal. Zip-a-dee-doo-da, zip-a-dee-a. Home sweet home is the lesson today. Zip-a-dee-doo-da, zip-a-dee-a. I'm glad to be here and I'm sure gonna stay. I'm through with moving on now. It's where I'm zip-a-dee-doo-da, zip-a-dee-ay. I'm back in my home now and I'm sure gonna stay. Zip-a-dee-doo-da, zip-a-dee-ay. My oh my.
So before we get into our discussion today, I wanted to Jerry Garcia at Jerry the Hut, always look forward to hearing you message us on Twitter. Message us to tell us that the water attractions smell the way, why they smell the way they do. He says, quote, the reason why Disney water attractions smell so awesome is because of the use of bromine. It is a disinfectant like chlorine, but gives off a slightly different smell, is more efficient, and doesn't lose potency in the heat as fast as chlorine. Hooray, bromine. End quote. Hooray, bromine, indeed. It makes me, if I ever get a place that has a pool or something like that, it makes me want to use bromine instead of chlorine because it'll smell like any of the Disney water attractions or Pirates of the Caribbean. I think that'd be pretty awesome.
Thanks for the info, Jerry.
Yeah, definitely. Also, Laura just messaged us to say she was surprised that you didn't look for Hidden Mickeys, Teresa.
Yeah, I get a little too distracted. Well, I always mean to, and actually... it was like the second or third or last time that I was in the park. My aunt actually had one of the hidden Mickey Disneyland guide books.
Oh.
And yeah, I don't know.
Well, if anybody's interested in Hidden Mickeys, it's outdated now, I'm pretty sure. But back when I started the Disneyland Weekly YouTube channel, before we started the podcast, you can go and look at what I actually look like when it was just me doing the show.
It's a little scary. Be forewarned.
A couple years ago. I did a whole series of Hidden Mickey episodes, so you can go and look for those. I have pictures of what I could find pictures of. I'll be honest with you, Teresa. I also have not really looked for Hidden Mickeys too much. I mean, there's a few that I've seen in Downtown Disney. The rivets on the metal stuff that goes around the trees are Mickeys.
I mean, I've noticed them. I've never like studied and like really tried to find some of the, I mean, because there's thousands of them throughout the park. I've noticed the more obvious ones, but I haven't like scouted out the truly hidden Mickey.
The hardest one that I tried to find, and I actually don't even know if it's there anymore since they redid the front of California Adventure, is right after the letters that made up California, there was like in the cement were these like translucent, almost glass looking, but I think they were rubber, just random speckles, and one of them was a Mickey head, and that was really hard to find because it was only like the size of a quarter, and that area is huge. So I had to like find online where it was like, it's about 3 feet to the left behind the A in
You're
California.
You're sitting there out there with a tape measure trying to find this hidden Mickey.
All right, so continuing our tour of Disneyland, we're going to cover two lands today because Critter Country only has two attractions. And, you know, and we got to go around the park. So we're going to do Critter Country and Frontierland. So this might take a little bit of time. I don't think it'll take quite as much time as our episode last week that went on
Hopefully
forever.
Hopefully not.
Well, but people didn't seem to mind if we have good stuff to talk about. So we're going to start with what's next to the Haunted Mansion, Teresa?
Well, next on the list then is Splash Mountain. So Splash Mountain construction on it began back in April of 1987, and it officially opened on July 17th, 1989.
Disneyland's birthday.
Yeah, this attraction can be found in Disneyland, the Magic Kingdom at Walt Disney World, and Tokyo Disneyland.
At the time of it opening, now I am not even seeing this like on a thing. I just remember at the time of it opening, it was the like steepest and longest drop of a flume ride, I believe.
Interesting. So, I did read that like during the opening, I don't know if it was. I think it was. It may have even been opening day. Things didn't quite go as planned. They actually had ended up having to redesign the logs because the first couple of trips, they were letting in too much water and the guests were getting soaked instead of lightly sprayed. So they kind of had to revamp things a little bit. So I found that kind of interesting.
That's the reason for that kind of, if you were looking at it from the side, it's like sea looking thing that like catches the water. Mm-hmm, it makes it go around instead of
pretty
on
genius.
You. Yeah, I thought so too. Of course, Splash Mountain was originally conceived in 83 by Imagineer Tony Baxter, who he was brought to fame.
He did a lot. What do you want me
right.
to try and...
His claim to fame was Big Thunder Mountain.
Oh, right. Okay. Gonna say Big Thunder Mountain. He apparently had, I think, something to do with Space Mountain I saw today, too, but...
I think so as
well. He did a lot.
What was surprising that I always...
Where would we be without Mr. Tony Baxter?
Oh, he's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, I always forget this, but now I'm questioning my knowledge. I think Big Thunder opened at Disney World first, didn't it?
It did not.
No,
actually,
it opened at Disneyland first.
We will talk about that when
we'll
get to that.
We'll get there.
One. So back to Splash Mountain. So it is based on the characters, stories, and songs from the 1946 Song of the South movie. The drop is 50 feet, and the max speed that apparently you can get is 40 miles an hour. I want to know who clocked that.
Right. I'm surprised that the Disneyland version is the shortest of all of the versions, clocking in about 9 minutes and 18 seconds. Magic Kingdom is about 10 minutes, 41 seconds, and Tokyo comes in about 10 minutes.
The other interesting thing that I found was a lot of the characters and animatronics in Splash Mountain, in Disneyland anyways, uses characters from the Old America Sings attraction.
Yep, that was in Tomorrowland. Mm-hmm. That was one way that Tony Baxter kind of helped curb the costs of the attraction because it had already gone over budget. So they took some of those, and which is why if you go to the Magic Kingdom version when they have the riverboat where they're all dancing, it's different characters than in Disneyland, because Disneyland are the ones from America Sings, and the one at Disney World is more themed to the actual Song of the South. So that was pretty interesting. In Magic Kingdom, Splash Mountain's actually located in Frontierland.
Mm-hmm. They don't have a Critter Country.
Correct. And in Tokyo, I believe it's also in Frontierland.
I was surprised that only 3 of the Disney parks have this attraction, but I guess, different climates, maybe these other places aren't allowed to, wouldn't be warm enough to have an outdoor water attraction year round.
Mm-hmm. So here's a question for you. So have you been on both?
Yes.
Which log layout do you prefer?
I like the Disneyland one better. I don't know why, but I like the single file better. And you also, a big difference between the two as well is, I don't believe... Do you have a lap belt thing in Disneyland?
Lap bar is at Magic Kingdom and Tokyo only.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't remember the lap bar at Disneyland, but obviously
that's
the lap
one of the things
bar
I
makes
like about
it different. You like the lap bar?
No,
or you
I
don't?
Like not having the lap bar.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying too. I prefer not to have the lap bar. It's not as... I don't know. It's not as thrilling.
When you have the lap bar.
You're not so afraid they're going to, maybe I'll fall out. But
Well, and I don't like sitting next to somebody. I kind of like the quaintness of being
single
file.
Well, and I feel like that makes it a little more thrilling too.
And more realistic, because you're not usually going to meet a giant log.
Yeah, another nice thing, too, which with Space Mountain, I feel that, well, I mean, not really, because Space Mountain, you have the single file versus the double. But the one thing that I really like for this attraction being single file is I don't feel like my view's obstructed of the animatronics and of the different scenes.
You're not trying
in
to look
ride.
Past your
exactly.
neighbor.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I didn't think about that, but that's a good point.
I also can't talk to anybody about the ride, so that makes it even better. Yeah,
more.
I'm actually paying attention instead of.
Well, see, for me, I lean forward, and if somebody's in front of me, I lean forward and say something. Where's your favorite spot to sit in Splash Mountain?
The front.
See, I like to sit in the front too, but probably not for the reason you think. So I don't like heights. Mm-hmm. So I don't really like the like scary part about being in the front.
Yeah.
But I found that if you're in the front, you actually get the
least wet. Yeah.
Because here's my trick. So there is that one section in Disneyland
that little dip
where you do the little dip and you hit this thing and water comes over the
side.
It like
pours. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So if you sit in the front and you put your feet like up on the thing, the water goes like next to you and doesn't go like if you do that same thing in the like it'll go right into your shoe. If you're further back. Mm-hmm. So I put my feet up and I don't worry about that. And then as you go down the big drop hill at the end, I just put my head, you know, I do the picture. I do a scream like I'm all like super awesome. And then right after I see the flash, I put my head all the way down and just wait for it to be over.
Oh, I'm terrible at timing the flash. I'm very bad at that. So I always have them. No, I know, but I never know when it's going to come. So I always look ridiculous in those photos, but that's okay.
This is me. So it gets up to the top. So there's one thing you got to know. So when you get to the top, you don't drop until you hear the thing go dunk because it like launch. So I don't do anything until I hear that thunk. And then I go like this. And then as soon as the flash happens, I go.
And you just duck and hide.
Yep.
Got it. Okay.
Yep.
Got it.
So when we go on this attraction together, you will see this happen.
We're going to have to fight for the front.
Maybe I'll give you the front. Maybe I'll give you the front. We'll switch.
And that's the other dumb thing. I enjoy the front because, again, I have an unobstructed view of every aspect of the attraction then.
Yeah, I would say my least favorite spot anywhere in the log, though, is I don't like the back row because it's big.
You know, I've never sat in the back row.
I did once because like that's kind of where the person put me, but I wasn't happy about it. And I think you can actually sit double.
I was going to say, is that design maybe so like a child could sit
now,
with their parent?
Story time. So one time I was on Splash Mountain and one of the things people, for whatever stupid reason, like to do is because there's no lap bar, they'll try to stand up or they try to lift their kids up
that
or whatever.
Like a terrible idea.
So they have cameras, obviously. Mm-hmm. So we're going up the lift hill and we get halfway up the lift hill and the ride stops. And over the intercom, cast member, ma'am, please stop holding your child. Because she was like trying to like hold and you can't do that. So he had to say it like two or three times. Finally, she stopped. So the ride starts back up. We get to the very top. Right before the thunk, right? So I'm getting ready
right
to go.
Right before you go. Mm-hmm.
And she's doing it again. So we stop at the precipice. So we're just sitting there. Ma'am, you cannot be touching your child. Because she's like reaching around. And this is a small child. So like the kid could get hurt. And
yeah, I could see. I could understand the motherly instinct of wanting to like hold your kid in. But yeah, that's
tough. If you want to do that, sit in the back seat and you can sit next to
him. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Ooh, that's not happened to me.
Now, I'll tell you, Splash Mountain, we've talked about this on the podcast before. Splash Mountain is one of those attractions that always I'm nervous the first time I go on it because I don't like the heights and I'm always afraid of it. And then I go on it and I think it's fine.
Ooh, I think it's fun. I always like it. I'm not a heights person either, but it's fun.
So
continuing on.
Right next to Splash Mountain is
The Many Adventures of Mr. Winnie the Pooh.
Now, I will say that I enjoyed the attraction that was here before, which was the Country Bear Jamboree.
Yeah.
And they still have it at Disney World, but it's not the same show. It's a little shower. And honestly, the only version I've ever seen of the Country Bear Jamboree was the Country Bear Vacation Hoedown. And I love that. I'll listen to that soundtrack all day long because they have, what's that song by Willie Nelson? On the Road Again.
There you go.
And they do like they throw in the word like bear in there a bunch of times. And I just love it. Love the end of it. And it's awesome. But anyway, Winnie the Pooh.
Yep. So as we already talked about, replace the Country Bear Jamboree. But tribute to this attraction, to the old previous attraction, is within The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh. The heads of Max the Deer, Melvin the Moose, and Buff the Buffalo are all mounted on a wall inside of the ride.
Yep.
You kind of have to know where they
are
because they're
around.
Kind of like, yeah, I was going to say they're kind of behind you. Mm-hmm. They're not really showcased. but they are still there.
Fun fact, since we're talking about hidden things. Mm-hmm. So in the Disney World version of the Winnie the Pooh attraction, which is actually titled something different, I believe it is.
I think it's still the same.
Okay.
It looks
well, it took over what used to be Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, which I love. Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. I don't know why you would take out Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. But anyway, inside Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, inside Winnie the Pooh, there is a picture on one of the walls with Mr.
Thaddeus.
Toad. Yep.
Is it Thaddeus T. Toad?
I think so. And I thought that was a cool thing. But this is also another good nod.
I do like that they have the nods.
Is the three characters. Yep. So this attraction is at Magic Kingdom in Fantasyland in Disney World. It's in Critter Country in Disneyland. It's in Hong Kong Disneyland in Fantasyland. Shanghai Disneyland in Fantasyland. So, you know, there's one in almost all the parks.
It is also in Tokyo. However, it's called Pooh's Honey Hunt instead. So
well, the Tokyo version is so cool because it's trackless.
Yeah.
And that was, people always talk about how cool that is. And the first trackless ride we will have at Disneyland will be the Battle Escape attraction in Galaxy's Edge. In Disney World, the first trackless attraction is going to be, I know this and it's falling out of my head.
Is it one of the Toy Story themed rides for their new Toy Story area? Nope, not ringing a bell. Anyways, you keep thinking about that.
It doesn't matter. So, we're not doing a Disney World podcast.
The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh opened in Disneyland June 4th, 1999. And I found this interesting, but because of legal and licensing issues, they decided not to use Christopher Robin, either visually or his voice, which I never realized that he wasn't present.
You know what? I didn't realize that either. You taught me something tonight.
Yeah.
I remember it being a big deal that Disney purchased the rights to Winnie the Pooh in the 70s, I think, or 60s. Legal battle. That's interesting. I don't know. I think this one's kind of cool. I like how the as you go around, the thing moves around like you're being blown around in the wind.
It is pretty psychedelic feeling, too, with the black light
effects. I love Heffalumps and Woozles.
Yes, the Heffalumps.
Otherwise, I don't know. It's an okay attraction.
I go on it once in a while.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I go on it once every visit, but
you know what my favorite thing that this attraction brought to the park for me? The candy shop that's right there, because I get my chocolate and caramel covered pretzel rods.
Ooh, that's
love them.
Good.
I don't watch it on Main Street, but I love watching the candy makers back in Critter Country because there's that window you can watch them make like the candied apples and everything. I love it.
You know, I don't think I haven't watched them make candy.
Yeah, I really enjoy them making candy. So we're going to continue on now. So because Critter Country was so small, we're going to also do Frontierland. So we're going to go from where we know. So as you come back out of Critter Country, the first thing you come across is the Davy Crockett's Explorer Canoes. What did you find out about that, Teresa?
So the Davy Crockett Explorer Canoes are only called that in Disneyland in California, but it does sound like Tokyo's got a similar canoe attraction. They're called the Beaver Brothers Explorer Canoes instead. The attraction originally opened as the Indian War Canoes back on July 4th of 1956, and this is also the only Disneyland attraction that is powered by park visitors.
Yeah, I'm looking at this here. So in Magic,
it doesn't have a track. I guess for the longest time, I thought that it kind of was like you were paddling yourself down the river.
The only attractions that have tracks there are the sailing ship Columbia and the Mark Twain.
For the river?
Yeah, because the other stuff we're going to talk about there, it's all non-track. But people always think they are.
The rafts. I guess I didn't really think much about that since those are. Not
they just do the same little thing back and forth.
Yeah, but since it's a cast member that's controlling that, I guess I didn't really. But it was interesting to me that you could kind of steer yourself with the canoes.
Yeah, in Magic Kingdom, there was a similar thing in Frontierland. They closed back in 1994 in Tokyo Disneyland. Like Teresa said, the Beaver Brothers. They're also in Critter Country there in Disneyland Paris. They also had the canoes, but it was in Frontierland, but it was only around from 1992 to 1994.
Yeah, not very long. Must not have been very popular.
And there's the Explorer canoes, which are in Shanghai Disneyland, and they are in the Treasure Cove area.
Are they currently there?
That's what it says.
Nice.
They opened on June 16th, 2016. I don't see
so they're fairly recent.
That's when Shanghai opened.
Okay, fine. I know.
Yeah, but recent. Yeah.
But I'm just thinking. See, I get so stuck on Disneyland in California that I forget that other parks are really not that old.
Well, yeah. I mean, Disneyland was the original.
I know. But so for like, oh yeah, that park, the whole park was just put together in 2016. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Now, have you ever been on the raft?
Nope, have not.
I have, and I think we talked about this before on the show.
The rafts or the canoes?
Sorry, the canoes.
Okay.
Where you get wet.
Well, yeah, because you probably have some jerk sitting in front of you splashing. That I am going to be that jerk that when we go on these.
I'm so thrilled.
Probably going to get yelled at.
Would anybody listening like to go on these with Teresa so I don't have to get splashed?
I'll make sure it's a hot summer day so you don't. It'll be refreshing.
So we started talking about this, about this attraction. So there's the rafts to Tom Sawyer's Island, and now also, what is it, Pirates something?
Oh, yeah, yeah, the Pirates Cave?
Pirates Lair on Tom Sawyer Pirates Island. Pirates Lair, that's yes. What it is. So these have been around as long as the Tom Sawyer Island has been around. These basically just go from the dock. They flip around, and usually there's two of them at a time. So one is going to the island as the other comes away from the island, and they carry guests back and forth. For the longest time, I actually thought these were the same vehicles that were used for Fantasmic, but they're not, I don't think.
You know, that would make sense.
Yeah, but they're higher up, so yeah. I don't think they are. Yeah, I mean, they could so be, either. But I don't think they are.
It's something similar for sure.
So the only time they have to worry about anything is when they're going back and forth. They have to watch out for river traffic. Sure, so they got to watch out for the canoes. They got to watch out for the Mark Twain and for the sailing ship Columbia. So I don't know. I really like it. I really enjoy going over there. Again, it's one of those, like, if I don't get over there every time, I at least try to get over there every couple times when I go to the park.
Well, I kind of want to go now because I haven't checked out the Pirate's Lair.
It's pretty cool. My biggest problem is I love running around in those caves, but as I've gotten older, they're harder and harder to navigate because, first of all, they're small. Mm-hmm. You could whack your head on the things. It's one of those areas that I'm surprised that Disney lawyers haven't just shut down because of people being able to smack their heads on things. But there's some pretty cool effects and stuff they have in there. They have an area where you can, I believe you pump or you pull on something and it pulls a skeleton out of the river.
Oh, that's
and
cool. Stuff.
And there's an area back there with treasure where sometimes during the busy times you can meet like Jack Sparrow and stuff. So that was pretty cool.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So that's really all there is to say about the rafts to Tom Sawyer Island. So the next one, if we're still on the river, is we have the one of the original attractions at Disneyland, the Mark Twain Riverboat. Do you have anything good to say about the Mark Twain Riverboat?
You know, that's one of the things that I don't get on too often. I do really want to go on it the next time because I'm interested to see. It's one of those things. It's kind of a one and done for me. I did it. I've done it a couple of times. I don't feel like I have to get on it each time. And I guess, so as some of you may or may not know, Tag and I actually live on the Mississippi River. So riverboats are kind of a common thing up here for us. So we see them a lot. So it's not as, I know it's different, but so it's not as amazing as it could be. But so I don't know. I think it's cool. I still ride it. Like I said, I ride it every once in a while because I enjoy going around. It's what, about a 10, 15 minute journey around the island.
Well, it used to be 15 for sure because when it was longer.
Sure.
So it might be less now. But
I mean, I enjoy that they have the little scenes, whatever you want to call it, the little characters that are out there.
It's a great relaxing attraction.
It is. It's good to like if you need to like recharge.
Mm-hmm. One time, so here's a story. So one time I was at the park and the people I were with were fighting amongst each other and I got sick of it. And
I was not
correct.
There.
I said, you guys figure it out. And I stormed away. And luckily enough, they were just closing the gates and I got on the Mark Twain. And I was like, they can't get me here.
Man, that was tiny.
And I got 15 minutes around the thing. I got to the back of the river and they called, where are you? We're sorry. And I said, I'm on the boat, and if you guys can stop fighting, I will come hang out with you guys again. But you're not going to ruin my Disneyland
time.
We are
in Disneyland. There is no fighting in Disneyland.
Now, the Mark Twain was actually built by Imagineers at the studios and was taken apart and brought to Disneyland and assembled. And its maiden voyage was for Walt and Lily's anniversary just a few days before the park opened.
That's cool. I didn't know that.
Yep. So main voyage was on July 13th, 1955, 4 days before it opened for a private party celebrating Walt and Lillian's 30th wedding anniversary.
Very cool.
So this also this also brings in an anniversary present for Walt or for Lillian from Walt was the oldest thing that's in Disneyland. It's that petrified tree trunk that's there. Mm-hmm. And that was a gift. And Lillian did not think it was as cool as Walt did and said, you can just leave that in your park.
You can just keep it here.
Yep. So I think it's cool. I like it. I like when the Disneyland band goes on it and plays. You can actually ask on certain days, and maybe if you're lucky, they'll actually let you up in the wheelhouse and you can pilot it and mm-hmm. you get to sign a guest book that's up there for
that's
people
cool.
who have piloted. I have never done that, but I want to.
See, I feel like there's a lot of things that were kind of like hidden little secrets that now, because of the internet, are not little hidden little secrets anymore. So I wonder how many of these things are going to start to go away because they're going to have too many people asking. Because what's the other one too? It's something with the train. You
the
can
Lily
request
Bell.
To go into the Lily Bell car.
You really can't do that anymore.
No.
They've kind of stopped doing that.
And
because
I think it's probably because, too many people are asking. Which...
Well, they require somebody to be there with you because they're not just going to leave you back there by yourself and stuff. So in Disneyland, it's been from opening day in Frontierland. The Magic Kingdom has a version called the Liberty Bell that's in Liberty Square. That's been since their opening day. In Tokyo Disneyland, there's one. There's a boat similar to this in Westernland.
That's awesome.
Disneyland Park in Paris has the Thunder Mesa Riverboat Landing, and I believe it's also, it might be the Mark Twain, but I think it might be something else as well.
Oh, no, I think, I don't know. Because it says name, Thunder Mesa Riverboat Landing, but the area is Frontierland.
Yeah. Huh. So, it's one, so have you ever seen Fantasmic in Disney World?
Yes.
Doesn't the Mark Twain look so awesome
course.
Out there?
Of course.
So anybody who doesn't know, go on YouTube, look up a version of Fantasmic at Disney World, and they've got this like Steamboat Willie.
Very small little. I mean, it's neat. It's a nod to Steamboat Willie, but it's just
the Mark
not
Twain is
just
so cool,
majestic looking as the Mark Twain.
The Mark Twain is way cooler, in my opinion.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So that's the Mark Twain, and then a few years later, the Walt Disney had a scale. What is it? I don't think it's a full scale. Maybe it was a full scale. I gotta look this up now. But anyway, it's a scale. It's to some scale model of the Columbia, which is the first
full scale replica of the Columbia Redivida. I did not say that right. The first American ship to circumnavigate the globe.
That's what I was looking for. Thank you, Teresa. It opened on June 14th, 1958. So just a few years after Disneyland opened, and it is the only ship like this. It's the only second ship that I'm aware of. That doesn't sound right. I think Magic Kingdom has a different ship as well. But one of the other parks I think has two different ships. But Disneyland is definitely the only one with a sailing ship like this, which is pretty cool. Now, back in the day before Fantasmic started, they actually used to have the sails like out. Like, they'd open them up and furl them. Mm-hmm. But because of all the rigging and everything with Fantasmic, they can't do it anymore.
That'd be so much work.
Yeah, but gosh, it was cool. If you look at pictures and stuff, it's really neat looking.
Maybe on occasion they do that.
So one of the other cool things about the sailing ship Columbia is that you can actually go below decks, and they have like mock-ups of like the captain's quarters and like the kitchen stuff. Have you never been on there?
No, I haven't.
It's awesome. It's awesome. And one of the cool things too is as it goes around the back, they fire off one of the cannons. So it's pretty cool. I definitely recommend, if it is not always running every single day, usually when it's busier or when the Mark Twain is down for refurbishment, you can get on the Columbia. Usually, I don't think I've ever been on it at night. I think the Mark Twain's the only one that does nighttime excursions. But
they're probably getting it ready for Fantasmic.
Right. But I'm saying on nighttime excursions for when Fantasmic's not playing.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But definitely worth it. I think it's pretty cool. Did you have any other facts or anything about that?
No, it just looks like the Columbia. I see here that the Columbia has entertained park visitors for over 50 years, including 24 years as the role of Captain Hook's pirate ship, the Jolly Roger, in Fantasmic. So it's been debuted in it's been in Fantasmic for 24 years. However, now it is Captain Jack Sparrow's ship, isn't it?
Right. Right.
Still don't know how I feel about that, but we're not talking
either.
About that.
I like the Peter Pan version better. So moving around the river as we go, the next thing we come across in Frontierland is the Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. And I have to say, Big Thunder Mountain Railroad is one of my favorite attractions at the park.
Yeah, it's one of mine too. And actually, I really enjoyed researching it this week because I learned a lot of stuff about it that maybe you already knew. But
let me give you one thing because I don't want you to take this from me. So I want to say two things first. So one, if you so Big Thunder Mountain Railroad is at Disneyland. It's also at Magic Kingdom. It's also at Tokyo Disneyland. It's also at Disneyland Paris. Something I want to say about the different versions that I like. Big Thunder Mountain Railroad in Paris is awesome because you get on the attraction on the one side of the river and it goes under the river.
That's cool. That is so dang cool.
And instead of having a Tom Sawyer Island, that's where Big Thunder Mountain is. So that's cool. I don't know that much about the Tokyo Disneyland version, but the Magic Kingdom version, I love our Big Thunder Mountain at Disneyland, but I have to say, I actually think I like the one at Magic Kingdom better because there's one section that did it for me. So there's a section... Have you been on the one at Magic Kingdom?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So there's a section that goes right next to the Disneyland Railroad, mm-hmm. and the track goes like this. It kind of wobbles back and forth. So when you're on it, it feels really out of control, and Disneyland doesn't have that. So but
at one section of track,
but Disneyland does have the cool exploding ending. Mm-hmm. And of course, the goat. I love the goat.
The goat. Bah. Oh, the goat. So Big Thunder Mountain Railroad originally opened in Disneyland on September 2nd, 1979. Tony Baxter, again, is who we have to thank for this marvelous ride. So this is interesting. So he originally came up with this concept for this attraction for Walt Disney World. And that was back in the early 70s. However, construction was put on hold because of the construction of Pirates of the Caribbean at Walt Disney World.
Okay.
And then again was put on hold because of the construction of Space Mountain at Walt Disney World. So they started construction on Big Thunder Mountain Railroad in Disneyland early 1979 and then finished it in September. So I thought that was kind of interesting that it was not really supposed to be. Yeah, first of all, quick. But then again, that it wasn't really supposed to be for Disneyland. It was also built on the land that the mine train through Nature's Wonderland occupied, and there are several tributes to the former attraction. Many of the animal animatronics and then also the Western Town were from that original
also,
old attraction.
Also, that first lift hill you go up, after you get like the loud clanging noise out of your head as you and the whistle as you come out of the station, those water things are from it.
Yep. I can't remember what they were called, but yes, I did see that too. There was something else, but I don't remember what it was now. Anyways, do you know what the backstory is for the attraction?
Give it to me.
So, first of all, I thought this is cool. Okay. The backstory varies from park to park.
Okay.
But we're going to talk just about Disneyland.
Yep.
And so the story goes...
Unlike me, who would tell every version of everything.
Yeah, we don't have that much time. But anyway, so how the story goes is back in the 1800s, gold was discovered on Big Thunder Mountain. However, the mountain was a sacred spot to local natives and was cursed.
Okay.
So there was a great tragedy on the mountain, and this is kind of where the story varies. Again, in California, it was an earthquake, and it befell the mine town, and the town was abandoned along with the mines. So sometimes later, the trains were found to be racing around the mountain without engineers or crews. Mm. So they founded, in the abandoned mining camp, the Big Thunder Mountain Railroad,
yep.
To allow any wanderers to take a ride on the possessed trains.
I did not know that.
Yeah, and so there's also, obviously there's not really anything in the queue or anything that boldly or blatantly tells you this, but there's all sorts of nods to it in the queue, and I thought that was really, really cool.
Now I feel like I gotta like check this out next time I go.
That's amazing what you can learn.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I like learning stuff.
I find the history of Disneyland just fascinating, as Tag and I have discussed many times before.
So something I know people at Disneyland and people that listen to this podcast may not want to talk about, but I think is important because I think it lends to the history of the attraction. Back on September 5th, 2003, a 22-year-old man died after suffering severe blunt trauma and extensive internal bleeding in a derailment that injured 10 other riders. The cause of the accident was determined to be improper maintenance. Investigation reports and discovery by the victim's attorney confirmed fatal injuries occurred when the first passenger car collided with the underside of the locomotive. The derailment was the result of a mechanical failure which occurred due to omissions during a maintenance procedure. Fasteners on the left side upstop guide wheel on the floating axle of the locomotive were not tightened and safety in accordance with specifications. As the train entered the tunnel, the axle came loose and jammed against the brake section, causing the locomotive to become airborne and hit the ceiling in the tunnel.
Oh my gosh.
The locomotive fell on top of the first passenger, crushing him. After the investigation, the ride was reopened March 11th 2004. And then they've done extensive rework. I think they've even replaced the track fairly recently. Because, I mean, this was a huge deal.
Well, yeah.
Yep. So they got extensive training on how to deal with things, and all types of safety, new safety stuff got added to it. Yeah. I mean, every time I think of Big Thunder, I know this is weird. I'm probably the only one that thinks about this, but like, I do think about the, you know, when you go through that tunnel, I do think about the guy who passed away in there. So
that's awful.
Yeah. One of my favorite attractions. But now I feel like it's probably one of the safest attractions in the park.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm sure. The other thing that I thought was interesting is that there has actually been research found that riding Big Thunder Mountain Railroad can actually help you pass a kidney stone. Some doctor that had several patients that were complaining of kidney stones and said that they weren't having issues after they had gone to Disneyland and rode this attraction. So he actually got special permission from the park and ran some like experiments or tests, and he had this I don't know what you want to call it, a fake kidney, I guess, and strapped it in and rode it around several times, and he found out that 70% of the time the kidney stone did pass after that ride. I thought that was really unique.
Well, you know, I suffer from kidney stones, which obviously is because I don't go to Disneyland enough.
Well, yeah, you're not riding Big Thunder Mountain Railroad enough, clearly.
Exactly. So, obviously, you need to go to Big Thunder more. Well, that wraps up Frontierland. There are a couple other things that are kind of attraction. There's the shooting arcade, which we don't really talk about because it's just a shooting arcade. There's the Golden Horseshoe Saloon, which is was also one of the opening day things, and you can see some pretty good shows in there. And that's pretty much it for Frontierland. Next week, we're going to talk about Fantasyland, and Fantasyland's going to be another big one because there's a lot of attractions in there.
There's a lot packed into that
with a lot of history. So we're going to talk about all that. So as we wrap up this week, we want to thank all of you for listening each and every week. Please don't forget to support the show if you can by going to DisneylandWeekly.com/support or by sharing Disneyland Weekly on social media or by word of mouth with other Disneyland fans that you know.
We want to thank Kenny for increasing his pledge. It's patrons like Kenny that help us keep Disneyland news and information to you each week. Thank you again to both Kenny and Miguel.
Well, that's all we have for you this week. You can help the show by leaving a review on iTunes, letting us know how we're doing, good or bad. If you want to keep up with the show, you can follow us on Facebook by searching for Disneyland Weekly, on Twitter at DL Weekly, or sending us an email at feedback@DisneylandWeekly.com. Feel free to email, Facebook, or tweet at us any questions, feedback, or suggestions you may have about the show. Lots of you do that already, and we really appreciate it, so thank you for all of that.
We will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
So until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Ladies and gentlemen, Disneyland has now ended its normal operating day. We hope you've enjoyed your visit to the Magic Kingdom and that you'll be back with us again soon.
Travel is great, but planning for travel can be time-consuming and difficult. That's where One Travel comes in. With One Travel, you'll find everything you need to book the perfect trip. Flights, hotels, cars, transportation, it's all right there. With One Travel, you can book online, via app, or even pick up the phone and talk to a travel advisor ready to help you make your selections. Visit onetravel.com/music or call 855-437-2154. Plan it, book it, live it. One Travel.